this time. Even if that doesn't ring true, you've been all over, and it's been all over you. It's a beautiful day to let it get away. It's a beautiful day. Good morning. Welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping very well this morning. Okay, so this morning we have an action-packed show. We're going to talk about things like high blood pressure. We are going to talk about the benefits of magnesium and how to spot magnesium deficiency. I've got a special guest on, Sarah Green. Say hi, Sarah.
Hello, Neil.
It's great to have you on this morning. We're going to be interviewing Sarah around 11:30. And then we're going to talk about the million calorie challenge. Some of you have heard about the million calorie challenge I set up recently, a way to reduce your calories by up to 1 million calories over 10 years, by making a few simple changes in your diet. And then around 11:55, we're going to wrap the show up. So a bit of housekeeping before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters show is to help to educate you, to entertain you, and to give you tips as to way that you ways that you can improve your own health and well-being. The content I provide on the show is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, and often my opinion. Please do not treat anything you hear on the show as a substitute for medical advice. So if you've got any issues or any questions, do consult your own doctor or your own healthcare professional. And if you have any concerns about your general health, you should contact your doctor. But you can also contact me through my website if you want to, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Drop me an email. It'd be great to hear from you. Some social media details. You can contact the show. We're on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is @HealthRadioShow. So you can drop me a tweet while we're live on air to say hello for a shout-out. Or if you've got any health-related questions, please drop me a tweet and I'll try and answer them while we're live on air. You can find the show on Facebook as well. So if you go to Facebook and you search Health Radio Show, then follow the Facebook page and you can contact me through there. And also generally, if you follow the Twitter feed and follow the Facebook page for the show, over the period between shows, I tend to drop some hints and tips about health which you might find interesting. Right, okay, so now we've got the housekeeping out of the way. As I mentioned, we have a special guest on this morning. We have Sarah Green from Prestige Sport Injury Clinic. And Sarah's going to be talking about what she does, how she does it, how she can benefit people, and a bit about her rather interesting background. And as you'll guess from her accent when she starts talking, she's not from around these parts. So looking forward to that at around 11:30. So I'd like to talk to you for a moment about high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a big issue. And the reason it's a big issue is that it's estimated that around a third of people in this country suffer from high blood pressure, but a lot of people don't actually realise it, partly because they don't get their blood pressure checked on a regular basis, and partly because it's one of those conditions that goes unnoticed with no symptoms until it becomes serious. So high blood pressure can cause things like blindness, it can cause kidney issues, but there are no symptoms, which is a bit of a concern. And there's been a research paper out recently from the Harvard Institute, so the Harvard University, and they've done research on dietary improvement compared to medication. So what they did is they had 412 people, and they these people were at early stage hypertension, so they had the onset of high blood pressure, but they weren't taking any medication. And they gave these people an equal amount of salt per day over a five-week period. And then they put some of the people onto blood pressure tablets, and they put the others onto a high-fruit, high-vegetable, low-salt diet. And actually, the results were quite interesting because the medication did reduce their high blood pressure, as you would expect it to, but it didn't reduce it as much as the low salt, high fruit, high vegetable diet. So if you do suffer with high blood pressure, or you're unsure, or perhaps you haven't had your blood pressure checked in some time, firstly, it's worth having it checked. And I would, you know, I would suggest that it's a good thing to have your blood pressure checked, you know, at least once a year. But if you have got high blood pressure, or you are pre-hypertensive, which is the onset of high blood pressure, perhaps changing your diet might be the way to go, rather than just going to your doctors and giving you drugs. Obviously, if you are concerned about it, you should go and consult your GP. And actually, most GPs will generally suggest a change in diet or change in lifestyle before they give you medication. But this research paper is quite interesting because it has proven that after the four-week period, the people who had the low-salt, high-fruit, high-veg diet had a reduction of 21 on their systolic, which is quite a significant reduction. And those that were given the tablets only had a reduction of 10. So, yeah, quite interesting research. If you go down the route of medication, obviously, as with most medication, there are issues with side effects. And if you go down the natural route and you look at a low-salt, high-fruit, high-veg diet, then there are very few side effects to improving your diet. And in fact, if you suffer with other issues as well, I would suggest that maybe having an improved diet would possibly help those. But just worth something to think about. High blood pressure is a big problem. There are three quite significant conditions that go undetected. The first of these is high blood sugar. And I will be talking about pre-diabetes and diabetes in a couple of weeks' time on the show. I think that's scheduled in for the 18th of December. So high blood glucose, high cholesterol goes undetected until it becomes a problem, and high blood pressure as well. So if you're in any doubt about any of those, either high blood pressure, high glucose, or high cholesterol, do consult your doctor, have some tests done. If they come back fine, then at least you know. And if they're not, then you can do something about it. But don't wait until the symptoms manifest, because often, once the symptoms actually show themselves, you're already in a bit of trouble. So, yeah, just a bit of advice there this morning. Okay, we're going to go into our first song this morning. And it's a classic from the 70s. Some of you are probably too young to even remember this song, but I'm sure some of you out there remember it well. It's Call for Cats by Squeeze, and in my opinion, one of their best.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep, and he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of Wandsworth with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father, and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. To change the mood a little, I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy that I wanna be so flash. I give a little muscle and I spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat. Cool for cats. We'll be right back.
the questions as she hangs onto the wall. I kiss her for the first time and then I take her home. I'm invited in for coffee and I give the dog a bone. She likes to go to discos but she's never on her own. I said I'll see you later and I'll give her some old chat. But it's not like they on the TV. When it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest this morning, Sarah Green from Prestige Sport Injury Clinic.
Hello.
Hello. Just a quick reminder, the Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show, so please drop me a tweet, say hi. If you want to shout out, drop me a tweet, and I'm happy to have a read your tweets out. And also, you can find the show on Facebook as well. If you search Health Radio Show, you can follow the radio show page there. Had a tweet in from Steph Unthank. Now, Steph was on the radio show a few weeks ago now. And if you go to my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, you can listen to the previous shows there. If you look at the media page, you'll see the show that Steph was on. And Steph has tweeted in to say, listening in today, Neil, have a great show. Can you shout out, please? She's doing a free January kickstart, a Get Fit 2018 club that's weekly on Saturdays throughout January. And you can contact Steph through her Twitter feed, which is at TotalSteph. Or you can contact her via email, which is totalfitnessbystephanie@outlook.com. So that's at TotalSteph or totalfitnessbystephanie@outlook.com. So, but she's doing a free kickstart in January. So for those of you that want to do a bit of fitness in the new year, perhaps drop Steph a line, make contact with her through Twitter or through her website, and I'm sure she can point you and help you get in the right direction and get you fitter for 2018. Right, okay, for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to discuss the subject of magnesium. Now, most of you have probably heard of magnesium, and I would argue that most of you probably don't know what it is or what it does. So magnesium is a mineral, and it's actually a very essential mineral for our health. Magnesium actually serves over 300 biochemical functions in the body. But the scary thing is that about 80% of people don't get their minimum recommended intake, their daily intake of magnesium, which is about 420 milligrams for men and about 320 milligrams for women. And one of the reasons that we don't get as much magnesium in our diet as we used to is very simply down to soil depletion. Now, what farmers do is they will often add things to the soil to improve the nutritional value of the soil, which obviously then the plants then absorb, and then we eat the plants and we get the benefits of those minerals. But very few farmers will actually add magnesium to the soil. So we have a situation where the soil is depleted, the plants that we eat are not absorbing as much magnesium as they used to, and we suffer with magnesium deficiency. Now, magnesium deficiency is quite serious because magnesium performs so many different functions in the body. When you start to suffer from magnesium deficiency, it does have health implications. So some of the signs that you're suffering from low magnesium, things like fatigue, muscle cramps or spasms, muscle weakness, if you get arrhythmia, which is irregular heartbeat, if you suffer from anxiety, if you've got poor sleep quality or you suffer from insomnia, if you have mood swings, if you're a woman and your PMS symptoms have perhaps got worse, then that can be symptoms of magnesium deficiency. And one of the things about magnesium, as I mentioned, it does serve a really important function in the body. So if you are deficient, it's going to have an effect on the way you function. And these are some of the things that magnesium does for you. It helps your metabolism. It helps the cells with energy production. It helps to synthesize protein. It helps with nerve function. It helps to control blood sugars. It helps with muscle contraction and muscle function. It helps with blood pressure regulation. Obviously, we discussed blood pressure a little earlier this morning. It helps with normal heart rhythm. It helps with bone formation. And it helps the body produce certain antioxidants. So you can see that it's actually quite important that if you are suffering from magnesium deficiency, that firstly, it's identified. And secondly, you do something about it. Now, ideally, you would get your daily magnesium from food. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're on a calorie-restricted diet, there might be a tendency to not want to eat extra calories. So therefore, you might need to supplement. But the ideal would be to get your daily magnesium from the food that you eat. So some good sources of magnesium are things like spinach. And actually, spinach is one of the best sources of magnesium, and most green leafy vegetables are pretty high in magnesium levels. So spinach is one of the best. Chard, some of you have probably never heard of chard, but chard is another green leafy vegetable. Pumpkin seeds are a great source of magnesium. Yogurt, almonds, and actually most types of nuts are pretty high in magnesium too. Black beans, avocados, figs, dark chocolate's great. Dark chocolate has so many nutrients in it, but obviously it's quite high in calories and quite high in fat, so you need to make sure you don't eat too much, and you do eat dark chocolate and not milk chocolate. And also bananas as well. Bananas are high in magnesium, and obviously as a fruit they're good for you too. But other things like salmon, coriander, cashew nuts, goat's cheese, artichokes, brown rice, whole grain bread, most meat and dairy foods are also high in magnesium. So as I said, ideally you would supplement or you would get your magnesium from your food. But if you can't, then in a moment I will discuss supplementation, because there are different types of magnesium that you can buy. If you go to an online retailer and you actually look at the different types, there's at least half a dozen different types, and they're not all equal. So here are some of the benefits of having an adequate amount of daily magnesium. So magnesium helps you to increase your energy levels. It helps with energy production. It can help you to calm your nerves. So if you do suffer from anxiety, magnesium can help you to calm down. It can help you to fall asleep. If you take a magnesium tablet before you go to bed, it can help you go into a deeper sleep. It can also help treat insomnia. It can help relieve constipation. So if you suffer from, constipation and you have a tendency to take laxatives, perhaps you are magnesium deficient and you might want to look at supplementing your magnesium intake. If you get muscle aches and spasms, magnesium can help with that. It's good for your heart. It can help prevent migraine headaches. And it is also good at mitigating the risk of osteoporosis as well. So I thought I'd bring up magnesium this morning because it is such an important mineral, but most people are deficient in magnesium. So just going on to different types of magnesium, there's a few different types, and the common ones are magnesium citrate and magnesium oxide. Now, magnesium citrate and magnesium oxide are not massively good for you in the sense that they're not hugely bioavailable. So your body may not absorb as much of magnesium citrate and magnesium oxide as it perhaps might do from magnesium in its natural food state or from other forms of magnesium. So a couple of really good forms of magnesium are magnesium chelate, which is C-H-E-L-A-T-E, and also magnesium malate, M-A-L-A-T-E. And actually, from a personal point of view, I do supplement with magnesium, and I choose magnesium malate, as it is amongst the best types of magnesium that you can buy. And the great thing about those forms of magnesium is they don't have a laxative effect. So if you don't suffer with constipation and you take citrate or oxide, you might find that it has a laxative effect on you, but magnesium malate won't have that effect. It's also very well absorbed by the body. A couple of things with supplementing with magnesium. If you've got impaired kidney function, you need to be careful. And again, before you take any form of supplementation, I would highly recommend that you talk to your GP or your health practitioner. And also, if you're on thyroid medication, as if you're taking thyroxine and you take magnesium at the same time, the magnesium can interfere with your thyroxine medication. So if you're taking thyroxine and you want to take magnesium, you should take them at different times of the day so they don't interfere with each other. But again, I do stress that if you are taking or you want to take magnesium as a supplement to up your magnesium levels, then you know, do have a chat to your doctor first, or do have a chat to your nutritionist or your dietitian. So yes, magnesium, a very important mineral. Please Google it, research it, have a look at your own symptoms and the way you feel. And perhaps if you can identify with deficiency, you might want to consider some supplementation. Right, okay, we are going to go on to our next song for the next few minutes. It's a classic from the early 80s by The Jam. And then we are going to have a chat to my special guest this morning, Sarah Green. And we're going to learn more about what Sarah does.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. Feel free to tweet me in. If you go to Twitter and you go to at Health Radio Show, you can find the show page there, the show Twitter feed, and it'll be great to hear from you. If you want to say hi, if you want to shout out, please tweet in. And you can find the show on Facebook as well, which is Health Radio Show. If you search Health Radio Show, you will find the show Facebook page. You can also contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. It explains more about what I do for a business. And also, if you want to make contact with me, go to the contact page, drop me a line, and you can have a chat to me there. So we're going to go on to discuss or interview our special guest this morning, who is Sarah Green from Prestige Sport Injury Clinic. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
We're going to find out more about what Sarah's background is, where she's come from, how she got into doing what she does now, and also about how sports massage therapy and rehabilitation might be able to help you. So, Sarah, let's start with the background. Obviously, you're not from around these parts.
That's right.
as listeners will gather from your accent. So tell us a bit about where you're from and a bit about your background and how perhaps you got into doing what you do now.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, Neil.
You're welcome.
I'm obviously, if you can't tell by my accent, originally from the United States. I'm from a small town outside of Las Vegas. I grew up in a low-income family, no money for university, which I was told many times by my father. And so I went, lived there until I was 18, and then I joined the U.S. Navy, where I thought I would, you know, run away with the circus and have many adventures. What actually happened is I went to New Orleans for 4 years and Philadelphia for 4 years. But in that time, I got married, had my son, got divorced, met my now current husband, and then I moved to the U.K., which is why I'm here now. So I come to the U.K., and I thought, well, I'll go into secretarial admin work because I was good at it. Mm-hmm. I didn't particularly enjoy it, but that's what I did. And I did that for about 5 or 6 years, and I got to a point where I was just miserable. And I think, like you said on the last show, you hit a point,
yeah.
And usually it's the low point. And I was working at a solicitor's, and he was just terrible. And so I thought, I had the money from the military to go to university. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to go to uni. I'm 35 years old, or almost 35 years old, I'm going to go. And I looked into sports massage therapy, and that was good. But then I saw there was a sports therapy course at University of Kent. And I kind of thought, well, why do a third of the job if I can do the whole job?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to a sports therapy degree for 3 years, graduated with a first class honors, which was very hard,
mm-hmm.
but I did. And then I opened up the clinic. But what sort of got me into sports therapy was I'd previously been injured while in the military, hurt my knee. And I did all the hydrotherapy and the physical therapy over there in the United States. And I thought, what a lovely job, you know. You get to help people and without being like a nurse, not that anything against nurses, I love them, but that's a lot of blood and gore I wasn't going to deal with.
Yeah. And very hard work as well.
Yeah,
very
long shifts.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go the physio route. I thought I wanted to work with sports people, and that's where I wanted to go with it. So I did the course, and now that's what I do. But what I do as a sports therapist isn't just sports massage. That's a very small part of it. A lot of what I do is assessing injuries. So people come in. Sometimes it's an acute injury. Like I do rugby. I do pitch side rugby at the weekend. So I might know exactly what happened because I was there. Might be, you know, they smashed their knee, they smashed their shoulder. Other times I get clients in that they've had something for 6 months or more, and it's something that's very chronic. So I assess the injury, and it's not just about what is it, it's about how bad is it,
mm-hmm.
and what other factors might there be biomechanically that's causing this injury. So I assess the injuries, and then I provide rehabilitation for the injuries. So it's going to be exercises. I'm a firm believer in exercise as the cure. It is the cure.
Yeah.
Research dictates for musculoskeletal pain, exercise is going to help you more than any other thing. So you'll get exercises from me.
How receptive are people to doing the exercise?
Most of them, if they want to get better, they do it.
Yeah.
So you get some, be completely honest, sometimes my rugby players can be a bit resistant. But
really?
But then when something comes back, they go, yeah, I better do the exercise. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the things. Like I get ankle sprains, and I was saying, so earlier we were talking about it, and if you don't rehab an ankle sprain properly, you're going to have constant problems. It's going to have instability. And I, the other day I was taping up about 6 ankles in the club, you know, and I'm like, you guys doing your exercises? No. I'm like, you need to do your exercises because it's just not going to get any better if you don't.
Yeah.
So most people, I mean, and I think that's half the battle, is making sure people do what they need to do. And that's part of our job, is to communicate the importance of doing the exercise. You know, you can come in and you can get, you know, sort of manual therapy treatment, but if you're not doing the exercises with it's going to take longer. It's not going to be as good. And so then the other thing I do is obviously sports massage, which is what I tend to use on, I will use it on injured people after a certain amount of time. Obviously, it's got to heal a little bit before you start putting thumbs into muscles that have been injured.
Yeah.
But usually I do it for people who aren't injured. So I get a lot of runners, funny enough, that will come in during their training. They might come monthly. They might come twice monthly. And it's just to help recovery. Sports massage is a great way to enhance the recovery process. If you've got a long run on a Sunday or you've got a race on a Sunday, coming in within those sort of 3 days after, you can really help yourself get back to it faster and keep your performance at a good level.
Okay.
Through the massage.
Yeah.
But I've had a few of my clients, I'm actually really proud of my clients, because I've had some that have come in having not done a marathon very well, and they come in for sports massage, but it's not just about the massage. They might come in and go, you know, I've had really tight calves or really tight glutes, and because I have the sports therapy degree, I can give them the exercise advice to sort of help that. And then they've gone on to run PBs in marathons. A couple of my clients have done ultra marathons. And I think what I like about my job, when I got into this job, I knew I wanted to help people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people that work 9 to 5. They might work shift work. They've got families. And running is their joy, and exercise is their joy, not just, well, I do it because I need a sponsor or I'm making money. It's what they do in their free time. And so it's nice to be able to take these techniques and research that people use in elite athletes and bring it to everyday people.
Yeah.
Through massage, through my rehab, through the injury assessments. A lot of people go into sports therapy and they go into elite sports, and that's great. But I always intended on helping the average person just get a little bit better. It's not always about time and speed. It's about your recovery. You know, are you sleeping properly? Because you were on about sleep the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize, if you're not sleeping properly, you could train all the time and do everything right, and you still get caught out with overtraining and with fatigue. And often they get colds and sick and all that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that I'm sort of here for everyday people. And I think my clientele is usually over 30s.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who's your typical client?
Yeah, it's usually someone. I've had a few younger ones, like my rugby players are all very young.
Okay.
But I tend to see more people over 30. I've seen people who are still playing sort of recreational football, recreational rugby. A lot of runners and cyclists I treat as well. And they come in, and a lot of them think, oh, I don't know if this is for me. You know, will massage really help? And then after coming in, they kind of go, actually, that was brilliant. They sort of don't realize, they think this stuff is just for, you know, professionals.
Yeah.
Oh, sports massage, oh, that's so for professionals.
At what point does someone think, actually, I need to contact someone like you?
If you find that you're getting really, really sore after running, and it's starting to impact your sort of next training days and your next few days, it's worthwhile coming in. Even if you're not necessarily getting pain, but if you feel like, oh, I'm getting really, really tight, it's good to come in. And coming in to see someone like myself, because I've got the degree, it's not just massage you're going to get. You're going to get advice about exercise, about injury prevention. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
You can't prevent all injuries, obviously, but there are so many ways to try to limit the likelihood of these things happening. And a lot of it is just advice. Some people don't know. So that's sort of my usual client is going to be someone who's a bit older. I hate the term recreational athlete. I hate it. So I try to say just non-competitive athlete for the enjoyment of it.
So how old's your oldest client?
Well, I've had I had a lady come in her 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was just sort of going back to the gym. And I think the personal trainer said, you know what, you might benefit from sort of sports massage and going in and just having everything sort of checked and looked at, because I'll get my, even my usuals that I've seen for months. I had one of them come in and she goes, I was lifting weights and I've done my shoulder a bit. And I said, yeah, well, I'll have a quick assessment of that and, you know, have a look at it. And it's like, okay, you know, told her what I think it might be and gave her some exercises. So I do see a variety. I mean, so I do have a couple that are probably in their late 20s, but mostly I'd say like 35 to sort of 50 range is where I sit with my clients.
Okay. So just going back to your degree that you did, how long did that take you to do?
It was a 3-year degree.
Okay.
Many, many hours of placement. I think that's, you can get a sports therapy diploma, which is just as good. I think the real difference with us is I get a little bit more in clinic placement time. We're very lucky at Kent because we have a clinic that we can work out of. So when I sort of was in my second year, I had to do a placement, and I won't say luck, but I took opportunity and I went to the club that I'm currently working at, and there it was unsupervised. So I had to do everything in the clinic except for the pitch side first aid. And I took them all in there. And 2 years later, they offered me a job. So, you know, it's not really luck. I hate when people use the term luck, but I took the opportunity and it worked out very well for me, because now I get to continue on with the team that I really enjoy being with.
Yeah.
I guess I should say who it is. It's the old Williamsonians in Rochester. It's out of the Mass School up there.
Yeah, you can plug them.
I'll give them a plug.
I'll let you.
Because one of them might be listening. One or two might be listening. They're good.
And I think it's true. I mean, all the guests that I've had on the show so far have been passionate about what they do. Not just passionate about what they do, but passionate about helping people. Yeah. And I think in the health and wellness and well-being industry, I think if you can be passionate about what you do and have a genuine concern to want to help people, then, you know, the old saying goes, if you find something that you enjoy doing, you'll never work again. And I think that's true. And certainly from the way you come across, you sound absolutely passionate and you really enjoy what you do. And you transcend that sort of that barrier from just having a job to actually having a vocation and almost a mission.
That's it. That's kind of what it felt like when I first started. I thought all these, you know, young kids in their 20s wanting to help all these elite athletes. And I'm thinking, I just want to help everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of people that just don't realize what's sort of out there. I mean, I do like CPD courses, you know, I have to do them. I like doing them. And some of the information you get from that, you go, actually, that was really helpful. I took a rehab one about a month ago.
Right.
And I didn't realize that actually, after you turn 40, you lose 1% of your muscle mass per year. And men, it starts in their calf muscles. So I get people sort of come in, I say, actually, make sure you're doing your sort of seated and you're standing, you know, leg raises, because that's where you're going to lose it first. And I thought, that's really interesting, because you wonder why, I mean, not being rude, but some of the old men, like, they shuffle around.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like a hip issue. It's actually because their calves have gotten really weak, so they don't have the sort of full movement of the ankle.
Mm.
And it was one of those things I thought, wow, I didn't know that. And that's what I really enjoy doing, the courses. And because you just always learn something new that you can then pass on to your clients. So, you know, I thought that was one of the courses. I was like, I was really glad I took that one. You know, I'm a runner myself. And I thought, I didn't even know that. You know, I'm nearing 40 and I'm thinking, I've got to make sure, you know, how important that kind of stuff is.
Yeah. So what's the favorite part of your job? So if you take all the elements of the services that you provide, is there a favorite part? Is there a part that you really enjoy doing?
I really enjoy doing sports massage, actually. And that's because you get to talk to people as well. And I think that's part of the benefit of it, is you might find these people training for something really challenging.
Yeah.
And they sort of get a little bit nervous about it. And sometimes just them talking about it to you, even though I might not, you know, have anything really to offer them, but while I'm doing the massage, they're just talking about it, makes them feel better about doing it. And they get a little bit less nervous about running that race or being in that game or anything like that. So I think the sports massage is really good, because you do get to chat to people while you're doing it. And it's, you know, you can chat about, hey, you know, if that's tight, you go, actually, these exercises, and you can then describe them and do them for them later. But I think what I like about that is it's just meeting a lot of different people in a lot of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, from people who really enjoy their running, people who do a lot of fundraising, and they do a lot for charity with their running and their cycling. It's amazing just the people that you meet doing the work.
Yeah. And you mentioned before we went on air, you mentioned about a marathon that you were thinking about running, or you are going to be running?
Yeah, I've done two marathons. I did a Thames Meander Marathon in 2016, and I did Edinburgh with my husband last year.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good. But There's a few next year I'm tempted to do. I'd like to do Rome, but my husband's got a little bit of a osteoporosis of the knee, and the cobbles, I think, put
it's
us off.
It's quite
a little
hard
bit.
Work. Yeah.
So we might do either Doncaster or I kind of like to do Loch Ness. Having done Edinburgh, I really like Scotland.
I didn't even know there was a Loch Ness marathon.
Yeah. There's so many marathons out there. It's insane. And, I mean, I'll be, you know, tempted to do Loch Ness, but they've been doing two in the year, which I might do.
So what's the longest you've done? What's the longest marathon?
Well, they've all taken me. I'm a bit slow. So the first one took me about 5.5, and the last one took me about 5:40. So it's not too much slower.
Okay.
But it was an amazingly hot day in Edinburgh. It was 24 degrees, and I got
really?
Sunburned. And I must be the only person who ever gets sunburned in Edinburgh in May, but I did. Terribly sunburned. The one thing I didn't pack was sunscreen, which is a rookie error. But yeah, I enjoy my running. And it's just, I'm not as good as I should be with the training. So mm-hmm. I think this year I might be a little bit more to like getting out there, making myself go out there more and more. Yeah.
I mean, there is a, for those of you out there that don't do much running or would like to get into running, there's a really good app called Couch to 5K.
Yes, definitely.
And I've tried it, and it's actually a really good introduction to build up to running 5K. Yes. And actually, 5K doesn't sound that much, but actually, that is some fair distance.
Yeah, it is. If you've never ran before, yeah, 3 miles.
Exactly.
It's a long way. Yeah.
And then you can progress to things like fun runs, and you can progress to maybe shorter runs. And maybe there are 5K runs and 10K runs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know lots of people aspire to run the London Marathon.
Yes, and I think people who are looking now thinking, yeah, I'm going to go do the London Marathon, I think the biggest advice I have is progress slowly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what's good about these Couch to 5K programs. They're there to make sure you don't overtrain. So when you're doing them, don't get the desire to go, I'm just going to go full out every time, go out and run it.
Yeah.
Because you do need those slow runs, those long runs, those tempo runs that are all going to build to that final moment. Where then you can just go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what are your plans for next year? What's 2018 holding for you?
2018 is going to be really, really good. I will be bringing on an online booking system with the option of paying online through PayPal, because I find you spend a little bit of time doing the whole paying thing at the end. Some people might want to pay in advance, especially if they come in all the time. They just use PayPal. They don't have to worry about bringing cash. I will be bringing in card payments as well into the office, and a loyalty card to sort of replace, I have a bit of a verbal agreement at the moment with people that are coming frequently. So a few of those things. Obviously, I'll be doing some more CPD courses. I will likely be doing another running one in January. So for my running clients, I'll have even more information when they come in for sports massages to tell them about all the things I've learned. And that's sort of everything else. It's just going to just continue on. Clinic is it's in Aylesford Village.
Right.
I'm out of an office. I do have stairs, so I always say to people, if you're really, really, you know, exhausted, I do have stairs. Just take it easy coming up and down. But yeah, that's all I've got planned. Just a little bit more sort of web-based stuff to make it easier to book. Because if you call me and I'm in with someone, I'm not going to answer the phone. It could be an hour, or 2 or 3 hours before I respond, and you can just go online and go, there it is. Book my appointment.
So who is your ideal client? I mean, you know, for people out there that are perhaps suffering with aches and pains or maybe want some preventative work done, I mean, who would be the ideal person to make contact with you?
Is someone who has been having pain, whether it's running or any other exercise, but a consistent pain, and it's not getting better through rest. That's sort of the kind of people that need to come in and be assessed for injuries. There's a lot of biomechanical, you know, especially in the hip and the ankle, that can affect other parts of the body.
Yeah.
And people sort of go, well, I've done this and I've done that. It's not getting better. You know, don't be a Google sports therapist, as I say. People Google, you know, knee pain.
Yeah.
And it could be anything.
Self-diagnosis
is the
horrendous,
worst. So
horrendous.
If you're having consistent pain after training, best to seek someone such as myself, sports therapist, because we're going to be able to assess those and not just sort of diagnose the injury, but actually give you the stuff to sort it out as well at home and within the clinic.
Excellent. So if people want to make contact with you as the first point of contact, how do they do that?
The best place is probably my website, which is www.prestigesportinjuryclinic.co.uk.
Yeah.
And Twitter, which is at Prestige Injury as well. So you can feel free to drop me a tweet or drop me a direct message however you want to do it. I do talk to a lot of people on Twitter. Twitter's probably one of the places I communicate most.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any questions, they can feel free to tweet me. Or if they want to find my email, it's on the website as well. So that's sort of where everything is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's great, Sarah. It's been great to learn more about what you do and also about your background as well. And we did have a chat off air. You've got a fascinating background. And if you want to find out more about Sarah's background, you'll have to make contact with her. But it's great to have you on this morning. It's great to learn more about what you do as well, because I don't know much about rehabilitation and sports injury massage and things like that. So
I could go on for hours, but we haven't got hours.
But it has been great to have you on this morning.
Thank you.
It's been great to learn more about what you do. And if you'd like to make contact with Sarah, then please do. You can contact her through her website, and as she mentioned, also on her Twitter feed. So thank you very much, Sarah. Okay, so in a moment, we're going to discuss the 1 million calorie challenge and some really easy ways for you to significantly reduce your calorie intake over the next 10 years. Before we do that, it's time for another song, and it's a classic, one of the best from Oasis. It's Wonderwall.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say. Not to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads that lead you there were winding, and all the lights that light the way are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. I said maybe
That was Wonderwall by Oasis, one of their best songs in the last 20 years, I think, actually. So there you go. So my name's Neil De Silva. You are listening to the Health Matters radio show. If you'd like to tweet in, the Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. And I'm here with my special guest today, Sarah Green.
Hi, Neil.
From Prestige Sport Injury Clinic. And you will be able to listen to the show again online if you go to my website, i-nutrition.co.uk, click on the media page, and you'll be able to listen to this show and the previous shows on that webpage. So for the next 5 minutes or so, we are going to discuss the million calorie challenge. Now, I came up with this idea a couple of years ago, actually, and it all came about because of the amount of sugar that people consume. Now, I'm not going to go into detail here and now about the dangers of sugar consumption, although I think it's pretty well documented, and particularly the issues with diabetes and pre-diabetes and cardiovascular issues, etc., etc. But the purpose of the Million Calorie Challenge is trying to help to educate people that often it's not always the big changes that make the biggest difference. Sometimes if you make small changes but make them consistently over time, they can have a significant effect. So if you are on Facebook, and I'm sure most of you listening out there are on Facebook, if you go to the search bar and type in the Million Calorie Challenge, you'll see a Facebook group that I've set up there to help people and provide support for people that actually want to cut down specifically on reducing the amount of sugar that they consume in their hot drinks. Now, the whole purpose of the Million Calorie Challenge is to educate that if you put sugar in your hot drinks, and say, for example, you're doing 6 cups of tea or coffee a day, and you're putting in 3 teaspoons of sugar into each cup, over 10 years, that's over 1 million calories, which is actually quite scary. So for just doing 3 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of coffee consistently over a decade, that's 1 million calories more than you need to consume. And it's not just about the calories. As we mentioned, it's also about the health issues and the implications around excessive sugar consumption. And then you've got weight issues and what have you. But 1 million calories equates to 262 kilograms of sugar. So the point there is, it isn't always about making the big changes. It isn't always about, you know, making these huge life-changing decisions. Sometimes it is about making the small changes, maybe cutting down from perhaps 3 teaspoons to two teaspoons. And then when you get used to that, maybe cutting that down to 1.5, and then 1, and then half. And then over maybe 6 months, down to zero. I see it time and time again with my clients where, you know, I've taken them from 2 teaspoons in their cup of coffee down to none in 6 months. And the only reason that we enjoy sugar in our drinks is, one, because of taste, and two, because it's just habit. And actually, habits can be broken and tastes can be adjusted. But even if you do 1 cup of coffee a day or one cup of tea, and you only have 1 teaspoon of sugar in that cup, that's still 58,000 calories over 10 years, which is about 16 or 17 kilograms of sugar. So if you can imagine 16 or 17 bags of sugar that you're going to consume. So start making these small changes. Go to the Facebook page. As I say, search the Million Calorie Challenge. You're more than welcome to join the Facebook group if you find that the groups have helped to you. But start making these small changes. And please don't be fooled into thinking that going down the sweetener route is any better. Because yes, you do reduce the calorie consumption. The problem is that sweeteners have other health implications as well. And it has been proven that sweeteners are a big cause for type 2 diabetes. So you're better off just cutting down the sugar, getting used to the taste, breaking the habit, and then actually trying to get to a point where you've got no sugar in your drinks at all. Right, so we are going to wrap the show up in a moment. I would like to thank again my special guest, Sarah Green.
Thank you very much.
And just as a reminder, Sarah, how can people contact you?
On the website, it's prestigesportinjuryclinic.co.uk, or on Twitter, I'm at prestigeinjury.
Fantastic, fantastic. The radio show Twitter page is at Health Radio Show, so please do follow it and tweet in. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask me, I will be picking up the feed between now and the next show on next Monday, and I'll be able to answer your questions. Or if you'd just like to say hi, go to Facebook, search Health Radio Show, and you can follow the show page there. And as mentioned, you can listen again to this show and other shows at i-nutrition.co.uk. If you go to the media page, you can find all the previous shows there. The next show is on Monday, the 4th of December. I can't believe it's December already. How scary is that? So we'll soon be in 2018. And next week, my guest will be Alison Nixon. We'll be interviewing Alison, and we'll also be discussing ways to survive the party season without putting on too much weight, and also, more importantly, understanding how alcohol acts in the body and how long it stays in your body for. So if you're going to go out partying, how long you should wait before you even think about getting behind the wheel of a car. So that's all to come next Monday from 11 o'clock. I'm also looking out for guests that would like to come on the show. So if you're interested in coming on as a special guest on the show, then please make contact with me via my website. I'd like to thank you all for listening and thank my guest again, Sarah. And I will see you again same time next week, 11 o'clock, Monday the 4th of December. And in the meantime, have a great week.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful
some advice, please feel free to give me a shout and drop me an email. The Twitter feed for the radio station, the radio show, is at Health Radio Show, so be involved, tweet, say hello and ask a question. If you want to listen again, if the